Morning to you. Top of the morning to you. Hello, everybody. I'm not wearing green, just because I totally forgot. I don't really care one way or another. If you want to pinch me, I guess you can. I don't really know. I'm not wearing orange, so I didn't cover any of the bases. I'm just here. But anyway, good to have you. Beautiful, beautiful day out there. Isn't it nice? Melody and I got away for a few days this last week. You may not have noticed we were gone, which is fine. We don't care. We just got back from lunch. It's about 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We step into our hotel room, and our hotel phone is ringing, which I didn't figure any of you guys would call, since I didn't think anybody really knew where we were. And plus, I had my cell phone on me. And I said, that's got to be the office, because as we were coming in, the sky was doing weird things. And sure enough, they were like, there's a tornado in the area. You need to come downstairs. I've got a picture, if you want to see it, of golf ball-sized hail that fell. None of our cars got hurt anyway. No, our car didn't get hurt. I don't know about anybody else's. But anyway, that was fine. And then the tornado was about a half a mile from us, but we are fine. And it blew right over, honestly, and 45 minutes later, we were back outside and doing our thing. And so we had a great time, great weather, really enjoyed it. Yesterday, we had the funeral for Monica Stratton. And we're able to give out the gospel and just pray that the gospel continues to do a work. I don't know of anybody that made a decision, but there were several there that probably needed to hear it. So it was well attended. And then we had the luncheon here, and I want to thank everybody who helped out with those things. It was a wonderful time, and the family really appreciated it. If you're visiting for the first time, if you'd stop by the desk out there, we have a gift for you. I want to welcome you officially. If you're visiting online for the first time, if you would just scan that QR code, let us know that you're out there. That is always a blessing to us to hear from you. And Easter is coming up. Are you aware of that? Right? So somebody today, we were just standing out there, and they're like, when is Easter again? 31st. Why is it in March? Easter is one of those, it has to do with the Jewish calendar and all this. I can't tell you how they figured it all out. Somebody knows the science of it. You can ask somebody else. But it is going to be March 31st. We will have a sunrise service. I know that the sun will be up before 7 o'clock. But none of you want to join me for the sunrise service. I'm up. I get up about 4:15. So, you know, but none of you want to join me for the sunrise service. We'll be here at 7 o'clock, have a sunrise service. It lasts about a half an hour. Then we'll break for breakfast. This year, I think I'm going to make biscuits and gravy, just so you know. So maybe some scrambled eggs. That we fed about 100, 120 last year, so I'm guessing we'll do about the same this year. But it's a great time for that if you want to join us. Then for the rest of the day, the services stay the same as far as times. We'll have the Sunday school hour, the morning service, the evening service. During the evening service, we will be observing the Lord's table. So if you want to prepare for that, that is going to be Easter Sunday evening. During the Sunday morning service, we have an Easter program that's going to be happening. We have gifts for all the kids that are coming in. So just looking forward to Easter. It's one of my favorite holidays just because of what it represents, right? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. I will tell you that holidays, as a general statement, from a preacher's standpoint, I've been here now 33 years, and there's only so many ways you can say the same story, But the wonderful thing about the resurrection is that it goes way beyond the story, right? The resurrection power of the gospel, we live out every single day of our lives. And so there's a lot of things to be said about the resurrection. Anyway, there's a luncheon for Moms of Middles coming up. Who? That's mothers of children in 5th through 8th grades. It's going to be here in the Fellowship Hall. It's going to be at noon on Saturday, April 13th. It's free. Victoria Dice is the special guest speaker. And so Moms of Middles, if that's you, you say, that's not me, but I want to hear Miss Vicky, then Miss Vicky, she doesn't go by that. I did that on purpose. But anyway, I guess you can come. Just tell somebody you're coming, I guess, so they know how to prepare for lunch, all right? Spring break is coming up. There will be no Awana for the 2 weeks of their spring break. It will resume on April the 3rd. So just so you're aware of that, there is, though, between then, a trip for those kids. That's going to be happening. That's probably coming up on the next slide. So I'll let you move on to the... Nope. Hope in Christ Ministry, that's a ministry to cancer people, I guess. I don't know what else to say. So they'll be meeting over here tonight following the evening service. Be here for that. See Jeanette if you have any questions. Did we get the zoo trip in there? It's not in there. So on Saturday, the 30th of March, is the zoo trip for our Awana Age kids. It's probably not in there because you had to sign up already, but I just remind you that it is coming up, and so, okay. And then, so our missionaries of the week are Bill Chilton. Brother Bill lost his wife in the last month or so, and so if you would just pray for him. Bearing Precious Seed is really the ministry. They print Bibles in various languages. They're working on the Huichol, if I said this right, H-U-I-C-H-O-L, Huichol language, and it's just about complete. They would appreciate your prayers to get that completed. And so just pray that they're able to keep that going. And there's other people besides Brother Bill there working, but he's the one that came and presented years ago, and so his name's the one that's attached to that Bearing Precious Seed ministry. So keep them in your prayers. I want to bring up one more thing before the men come. On April the 8th, it's a Monday. What's happening? There's an eclipse, all right? I'm going to just tell you what we've been told and by a police officer yesterday at the funeral, by a pastor friend of mine 2 weeks ago who's done some studying into this. It's been like 216 years or so since Indianapolis got a full solar eclipse. It's an event. It's a big event. With the advent of the internet, which they didn't have 216 years ago, people actually follow the eclipse. And they're expecting 250,000 to 300,000 people in Indianapolis that day. They're saying to us, if you have a parking lot or an open field and you are in the path of the eclipse, which we are, then people are going to fill it up, whether you want them to or not. Okay? They're just going to start parking and be prepared to watch. It's like 3-something in the afternoon that it's supposed to hit. Melody and I are going to go for a gender reveal for my daughter's baby, so we won't be here. I figure I've gone this long without seeing a solar eclipse. I'll survive. I'll wait till the next one 216 years from now. But having said all that, I'm going to ask something of you. Those of you who are going to find a place to park and watch the eclipse anyway, use our church parking lot and turn this into an opportunity to invite people to our church, to share the gospel, to give people tracts. You know, I don't have any idea if anybody will show up or not. I don't know. I've never been through one of these. I'm just telling you what they're telling us. The police officer, I'm going to give you this warning, yesterday, because Melody and I were like, we're going to come back for the eclipse. We're going to leave and come back on that Monday. And he said that the one that happened in Tennessee several years ago, he was at. And he sat in traffic 4.5 hours. And he said, I'm suggesting that you don't travel that day. I'm just telling you what he said. I'm just passing on information, all right? If none of this comes true, you can call me a liar if you want, but I'm just passing on the information that was given, all right? So we're not going to be here, and that's why we decided we're just not going to come back. We'll just live without seeing the eclipse, and hopefully somebody will take pictures and we can say, oh, wow, that was cool. But I would like to see our church, you know, utilize it if it's going to happen. You know, now, here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to become the police, all right? If somebody's acting in ways that you don't think is appropriate for our church behavior, it's not your job to police our property. If you feel like something really needs to be dealt with, call the police. You understand what I'm saying? Do you understand? There's no reason for you to put yourselves in harm's way, and the worst that happens is we're picking up cans and trash for the next 3 days. You get the idea? I'm just telling you, so don't anybody get hurt because people are coming on our property. And I was told that if you put up a barricade that is movable, they'll simply move it and come on in. I'm also told that if it's dry, our grassy areas will be parked on. I'm just telling you what I've been told. I have no idea. So you guys can deal with it, right? I'm not going to be here, so you guys can deal with it. Let's have the men come. We're going to take up the morning offering. Brother Ed, I'm going to ask if you would please pray for Bill Chilton specifically because of the loss of his wife and for the ministry of Bearing Precious Seed and also for our offering and the service this morning.
Let's pray. Father, we come to you today thanking you again for all that you do for us. We thank you for this time we can come together and worship you in spirit and in truth. I pray for Brother Ray as he preaches the message this morning that you would just bless in this service. I lift up Brother Bill to you, and what a blessing he's been in my life, and God bearing precious seed. And we just pray for them as they continue to work on the testaments that they're printing, that you would help them to hit their deadline, and that you would continue to bless that ministry as you have over the years. Lord, for our offering, I pray that you would bless it, bless the gift, the giver. Help us to use it wisely for the furtherance of the gospel. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, David. Go ahead and stand with me as we start our worship, or continue our worship service, by singing three verses of Victory in Jesus.
I heard
stretches floods atoning, then I remember.
up on that lab. I heard about a mansion.
Those of the congregation which are able, please stand for the reading of sacred scripture. The epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Romans, chapter 14, beginning in verse 12. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not, therefore, judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroyeth not the work of God. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. May the Lord prosper his word, whereto he sent it. Remain standing.
We were just talking in our college group this morning about the idea of worship. And I've been challenged recently to not just stand and sing or lead singing, just to lead it, right? Just because it's what we do, but to truly to think about what we're singing and the fact that we're here to worship the Lord. And so I challenge you to do the same. I challenge our college kids this morning to do what I'm purposing in my heart to do, is not just to stand and sing, right? We know these songs. You know Victory in Jesus. You know these songs. But to stand and to worship God this morning, because that's why we're here. If we're not here to worship God, then I'm not sure why we're here, right? Unless you're here for me, and please don't do that, right? We're here to worship the Lord. And so we're going to sing this morning about Jesus Christ, who is worthy of our worship. We heard this from Pastor last week. And so we're going to sing, Oh, How I Love Jesus.
There is.
On that second,
it tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious love, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus! Oh, how I love Jesus! Oh, how I love Jesus! Because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me.
You can be seated now as we sing our hymn of the week. We haven't sung this one since 2017. And it's See the Christ. It walks through what Jesus Christ has done, talking about him being the Son, and he's raised, and it gets to the point where he's raised on high, and we can worship him there. So if you don't know it, listen to the first verse. We may sing it a second time, but we'll sing three verses of See the Christ.
See the Christ, the Son divine, one with God before all. Humble mind your own.
let's do that first verse again. Do that first verse again now that you've heard it. Sing along with us as we sing that first.
See the Christ, the Son divine, one with God before all time. Lay aside his robe of thine, clutching not his equal right. See him as a servant born, taking on our human form. Make his humble mind your own, serve your brothers here below. See the Christ, the Son of Man, in obedience to God's plan. Take for us a sinner's death, grasping out his final breath. See him on the cross of blood, proving there his love for God. Trust the Father with your life. He will turn all wrongs to right.
On that last.
See the Christ, the Son alive, in his radiant place above. Now exalted, raised on high, reigning from the Father's side. See him take the greatest name, Lord of all by God proclaim. Hail him King and bow the knee for the Father's glory.
Good singing. We'll sing that again tonight, but we'll finish by standing and singing all four verses of It's Still the Cross.
The lonely night, the agony, the crying in Gethsemane, the Lord of life who faces death and willingly God's wrath accept. It's still the cross, it's still the blood, it's still his dying act of love, compelling me to spend my life in giving everything for Christ, in giving everything for Christ. The Roman scourge, the mockery, the hanging curse of Calvary, the Lord of life pursued his death and satisfied the sinner's end. It's still the cross, it's still the blood, it's still his dying act of love, compelling me to spend my life in giving everything for Christ, in giving everything for Christ. The brilliant light, the stone removed, the echo of his empty tomb, the Lord of life that banished death, its fatal sting, a vacant breath. It's still the cross, it's still the blood, it's still his dying act of love, compelling me to spend my life in giving everything for Christ, in giving everything for Christ.
Look up on that last.
The greatest love, the sacrifice, the triumph of the cross of Christ, the Lord of life, demands my death to live for him with every breath. It's still the cross, it's still the blood, it's still his dying act of love, compelling me to spend my life in giving everything for Christ, in giving everything for Christ.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever
ladies. Wonderful old song that everybody seems to enjoy. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. For those of you who were at the funeral yesterday, you're going to hear that message again with perhaps some expansion, but I just feel like this is what the Lord would have me to preach, so I'm going to preach it, whether you like it or not. So we're in 2 Corinthians. I was going to do Psalm 51, which you can look at, but next week is Palm Sunday. The following week is Easter Sunday, so it won't be preached, so at least 3 weeks. So Psalm 51, if you want to go home and do some reading. Got a message from Randy Gosser that they took Margaret to the hospital just this morning, so pray for her. Dan Dennison was taken to the hospital this morning. Dan's fighting fluid buildup. Margaret is losing blood. They can't figure out where. They're going to try to go back in and see if they can figure out what that's happening there. So if you would pray for both of them. Shirley Paris, we mentioned to you last week, but she's in hospice care and would, and I'm just going to tell you what she asked, that her prayer request is this: pray that I stop breathing. That's her prayer request. She wants to go to heaven. She's ready. She literally said, why? I said, why what? Why am I still breathing? Well, because God wants you to, Miss Shirley, I guess. I don't know how you want me to answer that. But anyway, she's ready to go. I think I can tell you now, She used to guard her age quite a bit, those of you who've been here for a while, but she's 93, and so she's ready to be with the Lord, and she told me she was 93, so I guess I can tell you. But anyway, so pray for those things. On the back, before I forget, there's the budget, and pick up one of those and be ready next Sunday night. If we can get that taken care of, that would be great. If you have any questions, you should call Todd Norwalt. And I'm not saying this because I'm trying to get out of it. Todd said, have him call me. So there you go. Call Todd Norwalt. They're out of town right now. He said, I'll answer the phone anyway. Don't worry about it. Last Sunday night, we started our service. It's the last time that I've spoken to you. We started our service, and we were reminding you to pray for Monica Stratton. She had 9 years ago was diagnosed with cancer and opted to, rather than fight through the cancer, the normal route of chemo and all those things and what it would do to her body, she just said, you know, I'm just going to live my life as long as I can. And she got 9 years, 9 good years, quite honestly. About 5 weeks ago, Melody and I went out to dinner with them, and we had not a clue that she was even sick. She was substitute teaching for about 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever that was, for some kids who go to our church, and they're like, she was just substituting. So we began the service last Sunday night, asking you to pray for her, and before the service ended, she had gone into eternity. But she knew the Lord. I have to tell you, that challenged me. In a good way, it challenged me. The idea that that someone has such a solid hold on what the future is with Christ that you completely let go of what this world has to offer and say, I'm going to just trust the Lord. And for 9 years, lived fighting cancer. The cancer devastated her body at the end. I can't explain to you the devastation. I won't explain to you the devastation, but it was devastating. And when you think that just a few weeks ago she was up walking around and nobody knew she was sick, that's the miracle of it all. So they sang a song about heaven at the beginning of the service, and you know, that just got conversation going in my mind, and we didn't have actual conversation. We might have a little bit of it this morning. I like having conversation. You don't mind, do you? I don't really care if you do. But anyway, I do. I love you. But it's like, you know, the idea that heaven is beyond fathomable, right? The Bible says, eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, nor, I love this phrase, nor hath it entered into the heart of man what God has in store. You can't even begin to imagine what, and so here's what I say to people, and I mean this sincerely. I want you right now, let your imagination just go wild. Think about the craziest thing. If I could pick one thing that heaven would be like, it would be this. And I'm going to say to you that the very fact that you can imagine it means that heaven is greater than that. Do you understand? Because it hasn't even entered into our hearts what God has in store. What we're looking forward to is incredible. So I was challenged with Monica's choice from this passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians 5. We'll get there in just a little bit, but I'm going to read to you verse 7. It says this, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. And I thought, what a great picture of that truth. That someone, if they're looking at sight, is looking at whatever this path in front of them is, it's dark at best, right? We know where it's heading, and it's not going to head to a pretty end. She's going to die of cancer, and it's going to be rough along the way. And please, understand that she and the family have already heard all of the comments, like they could have stopped it, something could have been done, and that's irrelevant, all right? I respect her right to make a choice. And she simply said, I'm going to choose to put myself into the hands of a loving Heavenly Father who's going to take care of me. And if that's not what you did, this is not a condemnation. I'm just saying this is, I'm going to use this as an illustration for us to understand what it means to say, I believe so firmly in what the Bible teaches that heaven is truly better than this place. That I'm going to live my life looking forward to heaven instead of trying to live my life looking forward to here. Do you understand? To walk by faith and not by sight. I can't explain to you how it just challenged my heart to make those choices. So here we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll pray and then we'll jump into this. Father, keep my mind and heart strong here this morning. God, as we look at this wonderful passage of Scripture and the challenge that we're given to walk by faith, the challenge that we're given to not only say we believe something, but to live as if we believe it. Help us to be encouraged today, and we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to start in verse 6, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We're going to start here. It all starts with salvation. It all starts with God being willing to give us the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. We place our faith in Christ and what he did on the cross as the payment for our sin. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And we've done that. We've taken that step. And God shines the light, the glorious light of Jesus Christ into our lives. And it changes our perspective. Do you see how this works? We're no longer the same person. We're no longer living in the light of this world, but we are walking in the light. And we have fellowship with him. It's changed everything. And so here we begin to see as Christ has entered into and to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's all about what Jesus did, and it gives us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And then it says in verse 7, and I love this, we have this treasure. What is the treasure? What is this treasure that we have? We have the gospel. We have the light of the glory of God, right? The verse before is telling us that this is the treasure that's being referenced. We have this treasure, and look what it says. In earthen vessels. The right here and now. We have this treasure right now. And living our lives with that confidence is walking by faith rather than by sight. Do you see? Once we've understood that this treasure is right now. David, even David in Psalm 27, verse 14, he said, I would have fainted had I not believed to see, help me here, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He's like, in the here and now, if I can't see the goodness of the Lord right now, then how can I be confident that God is going to do something in the future? And David said, I would have quit. I would have fainted if I had not believed that I could see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And what this walking by faith and not by sight concept is a willingness to live out as if God's promises are already reality. Do you see this? We walk by faith, not by sight. Do we believe that there's a heaven following this life for those of us who know Christ? Do we believe that? Then why don't we live like it? So often, we're walking by sight, and what you saw Miss Monica do was to choose to walk by faith. And she said, "I'm going to put my eyes on the prize, and I'm going to press toward that mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I'm not going to let this world beat me up and take away my joy and rob me of my contentment and rob me of that peace that passes all understanding. I am going to walk by faith and not by sight." Here's what I know. I am, and I say this with confidence, none of you, none of us, knew she was dying of cancer. I don't believe any of us ever heard her complain about the aches and pains that she had to have been enduring. I don't believe that any of us had any suspicions, because she simply put her eyes on a mark and said, I am going to live as if that is my reality. I'm walking by faith, as if God's promises are already, and by the way, they are already true. Do you understand? That's the way this is. They are already true, and that's what this passage is going to show us. Let's keep reading. Look what it says. It says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Please, hear me out. We're not here elevating Miss Monica. This isn't about Miss Monica. You understand that? It's about a God whose promises are so great that they can elevate Miss Monica outside of the problems of this world. You're going to see that in the next verse. Take a look at it. We are troubled on every side. See if you find yourself here in verses 8 and 9. We are troubled on every side. You ever feel that way? You ever feel like every day you get up and you, here we are again. And wow, what do you do when you're troubled on every side? I'm going to tell you what you do. You walk by faith and not by sight. That's what you do. You walk as if the promises of God are already a reality, because if you don't, you will faint. I would have quit, David said, had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I can be right here and see the goodness of God. Know that God's promises are true. We are troubled on every side. See if you find yourself in verse 8. Yet not distressed. Now that's a harder one, right? All of us say, amen, troubled on every side. Got that one, Pastor. That's me. Okay, now let me ask you. Is the next part true for you? Yet not distressed? How often do we let the troubles that are all around us rob us of the promises God has given? We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. What's perplexed mean? Confused. Do you ever find life hard to understand? I would guess that Mark and Samantha are finding life hard to understand today. I would guess. Sometimes life's perplexing. Sometimes it's difficult for us to look out and figure out. Just look at politics. If you just took politics, look at where we're going. Those of us who have been around long enough to remember an America that looked like America. And it's perplexing. It's confusing. But look at the rest of it. Yet not in despair. I'm not throwing in the towel. Why? Because God's in control. Because the promises of God are as sure as if I'm touching them. I'm walking by faith, not by sight. But faith is being willing to act upon it as if the sight were there. Do you understand? I'm going to trust God when I don't understand what's going on. When life is perplexing and confusing, I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to despair. See if you find yourself in verse 9. Persecuted. That may be a little harder. All right. I'll grant you that in legitimate persecution is probably not something we're facing in America. I will also tell you that I believe that these people over here, our teenagers, our college students, are facing a persecution. I say over here, I know there's some scattered around, but I do think that unless God does something to, you know, a great awakening would take place and change the direction that we're going, we're heading in a direction that's going to lead our young people to this right here. And when that happens, young people, listen up. You walk by faith and not by sight, so that the rest of that's your reality, persecuted but not forsaken. It's not easy to be persecuted and not feel forsaken. Do you remember John the Baptist, the great John the Baptist, finds himself in jail, and after he had at one point in his ministry pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world," then he sends his disciples to talk to Jesus and say, "Ask Jesus, is he the one or do we look for another?" It's not easy when life deserts us, persecuted. But listen up, walking by faith gives us this reality. We're not forsaken. In the midst of all of our trials, in the midst of all of our difficulties, here's where Jesus is. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He's right here. He's right here. You know, there's a couple of old sayings like, when God seems far away, what's the rest of it? You guys know? Who do you think moved? God's not moving away from us, right? He's not moving away from us. And what's strange enough is when we start to move away from God, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He's like, "I'm not giving up on you." So it's not time for us to feel forsaken. Do you find yourself here? Cast down. You ever felt cast down in life? You ever felt like, "I can't take one more thing. If somebody puts one more thing, that straw is going to break this camel's back. I can't deal with one more thing." And yet look what it says. "But not destroyed." When I choose to walk by faith, to let the glory of God, the light of the glory of God through Jesus Christ, permeate my life, and I'm going to live my life as if the unseen is my reality, it changes everything. And we begin to see God in new ways. I've got to hurry. I'm never going to get through this. Look what it says in verse 10. And I think, I know this is the Apostle Paul, and it's a different kind of thing because he's carrying the marks of persecution, but I do think of Miss Monica here, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. You see, folks, when we walk by faith and we allow ourselves to go through the persecution without being forsaken, to be cast down without being destroyed, to be, what was it, troubled but not distressed, and perplexed but not in despair, all of a sudden the glory of God is shining through us in this body. I've chosen to walk by faith. And people looking at us are thinking, "How? How can that happen? How can they live that way?" And it is because there is a God who's greater than this life and choosing to walk by faith. Verse 11 says, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh." This is how our testimony is set forth. This is how people see Jesus in us. Jesus himself says anybody can live an easy life and not complain. Anybody can give, unsaved people can be nice. Jesus, I'm paraphrasing, but Jesus says these kinds of things, right? It doesn't take the power of God for that. But when we are perplexed, and when we are troubled, and when we are cast down, and we're responding in biblical fashion, all of a sudden, the world sees Jesus in us. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel, and people see Jesus in us. We didn't know we were seeing Jesus in Miss Monica. But hindsight's 20/20, right? And we look back and we think, "Wow." And, "Oh yeah, wow." And then we remember, "Oh, wow." And we see Jesus. This is what walking by faith will do for us. Let's go to chapter 5 and verse 1. Let's jump around here. We got to hurry here. Chapter 5 and verse 1. For we, what's the word? For we know. I just, in my heart and mind, feel like this passage was probably Miss Monica's go-to passage the last several years, months, whatever. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Once we are certain, once we know that there's something better on the other side, it changes the way we live. This body may dissolve, but there is something waiting that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither have we imagined what it's going to be like. And verse 2. For in this we groan. For in this we groan. This concept of aching for the better. Do you see this? Of aching for the better. Folks, as long as this life is the best that we know and the best that we can see and imagine, then we're going to live this life discontented, troubled, and, you know, destroyed and perplexed, and all, you know, that's what we're choosing to do. But once we start seeing that there is something better, then we begin to groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon our house, which is from heaven. The last week, I can imagine this is going through her head. Saturday, she began. Mark and Samantha, if you're watching, I'm sorry, I hope this isn't hard for you. But Saturday, she began crying out, help, help. As she's groaning to be clothed upon with something that is better. Something that is better. That she could see, not by sight physically, but in the sight of her faith, because she chose to walk by faith and not by sight. And folks, that's the challenge for all of us. She groaned. So that if so being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now, he that wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest, the down payment of his Holy Spirit, right? The promise that it's coming. Therefore, look at verse 6, we are, what's the word? Always confident, knowing this, that while we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. But there's coming a day, and we're not going to live that way. Look at verse 7. We're going to walk by faith and not by sight. As long as we're on this side is the groaning. That side's the better. Now listen, we're not suggesting that we speed it along. Do you understand? That's where we put our trust in the Lord. We're not suggesting that we would do anything. I'm not rallying up a group of people to go up the mountaintop and we'll, you know, drink some Kool-Aid together. We're not doing that. Those of you who don't get the Kool-Aid reference, then, you know, just know that Jim Jones was from Indianapolis. Did you guys know that? So, yeah, okay, so all the old people know what I'm talking about. But anyway, so we're not doing that, but we are going to encourage us to, let's do this. Let's, like David of old, not be content unless we can see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Let's walk by faith, knowing, not hoping in the world's sense, but knowing that there's something better coming. And it changes everything. And people begin to see the glory, the light of the glory of God in us through Jesus Christ, this treasure in an earthen vessel. Wow, we've seen it played out. What a joy. What a joy. And what a challenge. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please. You ready to put your eyes on the prize, right? Pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Ready to put your eyes on that which is truly important? We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. Say, Pastor John, I have to be honest, Pastor, I'm not really walking by faith. The decisions I'm making are all based upon what this life has to offer. The things that are impacting my life are all what this life has to offer. And when I find myself troubled and perplexed and cast down, I'm not seeing the response of a life that's walking by faith. I'm actually being destroyed. I'm actually being in despair. And Pastor, I want to have this treasure in this earthen vessel. I want the gospel to have such an impact on my life that it's changing the direction of my life. Pastor, that's where I'm at. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up and let me see that so I can pray for you? Thank you, thank you, thank you. 4, 5, 6, 7, thank you. 8, 9, 10, thank you. Thank you. Father, I pray that there's someone here that does not know your son. That God, they would recognize how desperately you love their souls and desire to give them the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. May they seek counsel today in finding and settling that issue. But God, for the 12 or so, 15 that would like to begin to walk by faith in a fresh and new way, God, I pray that you would help us to be willing to see through your eyes the reality of eternity, the reality of what you have in store. And may we live with that reality in mind. Thank you for Ms. Monica for her testimony, for her willingness to walk by faith. Help us to grow in your grace together, and we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing together. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. The altar is open to you, Christian. You need to visit with the Lord. Step out. Let him have his way, would you, as we sing together. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Oh, soul, are you
I'm supposed to announce meeting tonight after the church service for Christ. What is it? Hope in Christ. Hope in Christ. There you go. I couldn't remember the name of it. Sorry about that. The Lord bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, give you peace. Love you all. God bless you. You're dismissed.